Good morning. Been having a good time myself, kind of getting myself acquainted with a new book. I've read through Esther a few times and done a little bit of studying. That's one of the more famous of the ladies of the Bible. And so let's get started with a little introduction here. Start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father. Oh, thank you so much, Lord, for just the variety of different books you gave us to study, and help us with to understand the meaning and the purposes that you had behind the Book of Esther, and you help us to understand what truths we can learn from it. We give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, Esther is a book in the Old Testament. It was written in a time frame. Don't know who the author was. It wasn't necessarily written by Esther. It's kind of an interesting book from the standpoint there isn't a lot of biblical, godly verbiage, no truths that come from God in the book. Except for maybe the morals of living, and that as we explore the book, we're kind of like God is not mentioned in the whole Bible, in the book. Prayer is not mentioned, but the closest thing to anything having to do with biblical values is fasting. And but it's interesting to me to see the tie-in of this book into other books. The actual timing of this book is actually early on in the book of Ezra. And I chose it partially because I was praying about it and it came to mind. And then partially, I think it's that it fits in well with the time frame. We're in the same general time frame as Ezekiel. This is a Esther's story happened shortly after the Ezekiel account. And the it was about the time that the kings, and the particular king that's involved in this story is the same king that gave permission for the for Ezra and Nehemiah to first for Ezra to go back and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem after the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. His name is Xerxes, King Xerxes, and let me bring up some interesting things about it. So, like I did before, I got some charts here to kind of help us see a little bit where it sits. Has a little timeline here. You see David here about 1000 BC. The Babylonian captivity started in 587 BC, and it was over, and the first people to return to Jerusalem was 538 BC. And so that Esther is a just shortly after the first return to Jerusalem and before Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem in 444 BC. And so this period of time typically is during the Xerxes, King Xerxes' reign, which ran from 486 BC to 465 BC. And of course, my little timeline here, when it goes up to Jesus, which was 4 BC. Here's a breakdown of the book. See the, it's a very short book. It's only 10 chapters. It won't take us too long, probably a few weeks to get through it. We'll see how that goes. And the divisions of the book, as Esther, the first chapter of Esther, Esther becomes queen of Persia. And the second chapter, there's a plot to try to kill the Jews by a character called Haman. And then in about chapter 5, through Esther's cleverness, and she was able to thwart the plan of Haman to take over. Mordecai was the uncle of Queen of Esther, And so Mordecai raised her from a child. Some reason, I guess Esther's parents had passed away, and uncle took over raising her, and was influential in the court, and was able to get her seen as queen, or seen as a potential candidate for queen. Now, and then from Esther 8:4 to 10:3 is the triumph of Israel over her enemies, having to do with. And this particular book is celebrated in a festival called Purim each year by the Jewish nation. It's typically in February of the year. And it's kind of a neat little festival that people actually dress up in costumes and they celebrate the freedom that Esther, Queen Esther, has established. Not exactly sure why they dress up in costumes, but I know that they, if anyone says Haman during that time frame, they get a bunch of boos, and if they say Esther or Mordecai, they get cheering. So it's a way of remembering the deliverance of the Jewish nation from annihilation during this period of time. The location is Persia, and I got a map here I'll show you. And it was over a 10-year period, about 483 BC to 473 BC. Now, a lot of it takes place. This is an artist, this is a model of the palace at Shushan. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. That was the capital of the Persian Empire. If you're in, if you're watching, if you're following us on Sunday school, on the, in the, we just started talking about the second chapter of Daniel, when we showed the statue, and this would be the Mede-Persian portion of the statue that the Mede-Persia took over. King Cyrus was instrumental in taking over the kingdom of Babylon from Nebuchadnezzar. So now the people in power in this particular story is actually Cyrus' son is the main character here. The king Xerxes is the son of Cyrus the Great. So this is their palace in Shushan, which is the capital of Persia, and a model of it. There's another picture of it, kind of shows some of the during the time of I think it's always neat when you're reading a book to actually kind of get a visual idea of what they're talking about. And these places here you see here are going to be mentioned in the in the book, the King's Gate with Mordecai, and then the women's quarters. That's where all the women of the realm, including the queen, are kept. And then the throne hall, there's a lot of activity in there. This is an actual piece. It's actually in the Louvre in France, of a one of the statues that used to hold up the throne room. And it's quite, you can see with somebody standing beside it, it's quite the, this is only the top. This picture on the right shows it's a big column that was held, that held up the roof of this throne room. This is where it is relationship to, go back up to the top, of Babylon. So you get the Euphrates River. So we're kind of east of Babylon, and that's where Shushan is. It's more or less it's in Iran, current day Iran, but it's as I'll show you here next, the entire Mede-Persian Empire took over the whole area from India all the way to Egypt and further. Here in gold, you can see the entire empire. And you can see, yeah, I should have this with my pointer again. And I'll have that tomorrow when we start talking about more things. But you get the gold area, you can kind of see Israel, the Mediterranean. Israel would be over here, kind of in the center of it. That red line you see in the middle there is a road. They call that the Royal Road. That ends at Shushan. And you can see Babylon to the right of it, to the left of it. And so you can see Egypt, and see it spreads all the way into India. that's the extent of the Persian Empire at that time frame. Now, this is some of the ruins of the actual temple, the actual palace. I always love it when archaeology finds something that's actually in the Bible. It just confirms the Bible even more. This would be the king's throne room in this general area here. And what's left of it now, I got some other pictures of the, there's some artwork that was found there, was uncovered. Might be a depiction of King Xerxes, but maybe it might be someone else like Darius or Cyrus. And there's the actual ruins. It's not this castle looking thing in the right bottom corner. That was actually built in the 1800s. But the other area that you see, that's the ruins of this palace area. I got another one that kind of shows a little bit of the layout. You can see here, you got the courtyard of the garden is number one. It's way up in the back. And then two, the courtyard of the House of the Women, number two, over here to the left. And the second courtyard, one of two outer courtyards, number three. Number four, another courtyard. And then five was the throne room. Okay, that's all I had for pictures today. So it's got some verses in here. I'll kind of talk about a few things and see how far we get. Don't want to use that one. I have a different backdrop and area is mostly I'm first talking about just a little bit of the history. I'll just do this one here. My pictures are a little bit big. What picture do I want to use? I'll use this picture. And I'll put the stuff at the bottom. Okay, now it came to pass in the days of Xerxes. You notice here it's spelt slightly different. The actual spelling of the actual king, this particular spelling, Assyrius, is more of a title, not a name. And the title means venerable king or high father. Pretty much all of the historians have proven that the actual Xerxes they're talking about here is spelt two ways. It's either spelled with an X, Xerxes, or it's spelled as Artaxerxes, which you'll see when we get into some of the other verses in Ezra and Nehemiah. And some interesting things is that talking about Artaxerxes, I already mentioned that the capital, maybe I'll bring the map back. Capital is a place called Shushan. It's along a river, a Ulai River, and it's also spelled Susa in some places too, Susa. It was the capital of it was called the Winter Palace, winter home of the Persian Empire. There was actually a summer home too. I already mentioned that Esther actually fits in between Ezra and Nehemiah. It's almost dead center between when Ezra went to start rebuilding the city, I mean the temple. Now and then it was about 40 years later that this story happens. And then about 40 years after Ezra's story is when Nehemiah went to rebuild the city walls. So I'll give you a little bit of a time frame. And the King Cyrus, which would be the father of King Xerxes, is the one that actually allowed the people to go back to the to start rebuilding the city, allowed them to leave. In other words, they weren't captive anymore. But the actual rebuilding of the temple didn't happen until Xerxes actually helped get that started. as you'll see in Daniel 9:25. I'll bring up here. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince. This is the famous verse. And so what happened in Ezra, it was to rebuild the temple. But this verse is coordinating that this is the time frame. I guess I need my bigger one. Can't see the whole verse. So be 7 weeks free school in 2 weeks. The street shall be built again on the wall, even in troublous times. I'm going to mention something here in a minute that is a part of the reason behind the troublous times was that during this time frame, there was still a lot of people that were against Israel, and they wanted them to stay gone. And so they started writing letters to King Xerxes to try to get things stirred up and Satan has been working ever since Genesis 3:15 to stop the Messiah from coming and the Jewish nation from ever getting started. It's another time that King Xerxes was getting all these letters from different people. And that's where the troubled times comes from. But this particular verse starts 40 years after Ezra. About 80 years after Ezra started, and when they started to build the city walls to protect the temple from all the people that were trying to destroy it. So some other verses on this subject in Ezra 6:14, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it according to the commandment of God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Xerxes. That's the spelling you'll see a lot in the other books. King of Persia. And also over in Daniel 9:1, it mentions, in the first year of Darius, the son of Xerxes, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. So this is talking about Darius, who becomes is actually the son of Xerxes. And I believe it might be Esther's, based on a verse, I think it's coming up here in a few minutes, based on a verse that describes King Xerxes and his wife, the queen. It doesn't say her name, though. So there's still a lot of controversy over why this book is even here, Esther. But again, God is not mentioned. A lot of the biblical truths are not mentioned, but it's implied. And I think it's an important stepping stone that because of what Esther did, it made it so that ultimately that the palace, I mean, that the temple and the city got rebuilt of Jerusalem. And Esther 8:9, that's a long verse. Then were the king's scribes called at the time in the third month, that is the month of Sivan, on the third and 20th day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia. That's the only reason I put this verse here. It shows that biblically it says the size of the kingdom. And 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. These letters were sent out, and we'll get to Esther 8 at some point, and we'll talk more about this. But I mainly put this verse in here to talk about the size of the Persian Empire. And then it had 127 provinces. And we also see in Isaiah 18:1, woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And so this is kind of an indication again. The wings here is one of the symbols for the Persian Empire was wings. Okay, in Ezra 4:6, this is what I was talking about the letters being written. And in the reign of Xerxes, in the beginning of the reign, wrote they unto him and accusation against the inhabitants of Judea and Jerusalem. So different people of these were trying to get the still trying to destroy the Jewish nation. As we'll see, this one man, Haman, we're going to see is going to try to facilitate that, and Esther is the one that upsets that balance. So. Just to go through a little brief history again, as I mentioned, I already mentioned Cyrus the Great was the one that conquered Babylon conquered the Babylonian Empire from Nebuchadnezzar, and that was about 550 BC, and he reigned until 530 BC, and he was the one that actually allowed the Jews to return to Jerusalem, not to rebuild the temple or to help them rebuild it, but just to return to Jerusalem. And we see this written in, it started in 541 BC, is when he allowed it. And we see this in Ezra 1:1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he might make a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea." We're going to see this verse again once we get into the latter parts of Daniel. Daniel was instrumental in convincing Cyrus that the Lord God was the one that allowed him to be put into power. And that helped a lot in this particular period of time to facilitate getting the temple rebuilt also. But I think Esther was instrumental, as we're going to see. Also over in Ezra 4:3, was Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel saith unto them, "You have nothing to do with us to build a house under our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us." And Daniel 5:31, it also makes mention of Darius the Mede. Now, in the secular world, you're going to see the term Gobanias. He was a military governor that was put in charge of Babylon. And most believe that, and some believe that Gobanias is Darius the Mede of Daniel 5:31. Something you always kind of run into when it comes to the secular world is they like to try to not use the Bible as a resource for history. And it's unfortunate. So sometimes when they make an interpretation of someone's name or an event, they're trying to do it from archaeology and other writings and not using the Bible. So you're going to find sometimes that there's slight variations between the Bible. And I truly believe that the God-inspired Bible is the truth. All the others are possibly not true. Or the way they pronounce a name might be different, or how they spell a name might be slightly different. It was based on this verse here. And it's also mentioned over in Zechariah 1:1. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Bereshiah, the son of Iddo the prophet. I'm just mentioning that Zechariah mentioned Darius also. Haggai mentioned them too. Haggai 1:1-2. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judea, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house shall be built." These are prophecies by some of the other prophets about this exact same time frame. I'm just going through a list of, now we're down to Xerxes. Xerxes ran from 486 BC to 465 BC. And this is what I think that possibly The next one is Artaxerxes Longimanus, who reigned from 465 BC to 424 BC, may have been the child of Xerxes and Esther, because of a verse that I don't know if I jotted it down, but I'll show you when it comes up again. I may have jotted it down. Some other things I mentioned, the 127 provinces. It's also mentioned in Daniel 6, 1 through 3. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. So it's interesting that you're going to see princes mentioned when we get to this feast that Artaxerxes is going to have, that he calls in all the princes. So there may even be a possibility that Daniel might have been there. Since he was a president over them. I don't know, just a speculation. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. Daniel 6:3. Then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. We'll be studying that quite a bit as we do our study in Daniel. More to follow on that. Okay, over to Esther 2. Then in those days, when the king Artaxerxes sat on the throne of the kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace. So I want to point out that here's where Shushan is mentioned. And in Nehemiah 1, 1 through 6, it mentions Shushan also. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hachiliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. So Nehemiah was in the same palace. Then Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and a certain man of Judea, and I asked them conveying the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity that are in Providence are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. This is where Nehemiah gets his feeling that he wants to take care of, think about getting there and helping rebuild the city. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Lend thy ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Nehemiah is pleading with the Lord to possibly formulate a way for him to be able to do something about the city of Jerusalem, the city he loves. And this is again where Artaxerxes is going to step in and actually help them. And I think this all sends back to what Esther did and what this whole story we're going to be talking about. But in Nehemiah 2:1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king. There it is again. The wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king. Now I heard not Ben before time sat in his presence. He looked down and out, and the king noticed. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is this countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, that the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Notice here in Nehemiah, he's acknowledging the God of heaven was the one that in charge. And I said unto the king, as pleased the king, that if the servant have found favor in thy sight, thou wouldest send me unto Judea, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I might build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him. See, that right there tells me that that might have been Esther right there. For how long shall the journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. So there the king gave permission for him to leave. And that's an important verse, because that's the period of time that he got permission to go back to rebuild the city. And that's what Daniel is talking about in Daniel 9:25. So I think we'll end there for now, and we'll continue on tomorrow. A little introduction and get started in chapter 1. And we'll continue on and look into this this wonderful feast that's going to be coming up in the rest of chapter 1. So I'm going to prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look in your word. And Lord, I'm starting to see some of the correlations here, Lord, and keep me faithful and true to your word, that I understand it correctly and that I present it correctly, and you'll give me favor to know your will when it comes to how I should teach, and give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, you guys have a great day, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.